Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
You know, as we look at football history each and every day, we know that the NFL has always been filled with characters that have very interesting stories. But George Preston Marshall and the story of the origin of the Washington Commanders franchise is one of those tales that we need to address further. So we have the story of George Preston Marshall and the Washington Commanders' early origins coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to talk about some interesting history today. We've touched on this in different episodes of the podcast and different blog posts, but we're going to try to tell a complete story of one of the more interesting people of football, of the NFL history. That's George Preston Marshall. You know, his Washington Commanders team, what they're called now, has really gone through some changes the last few years. They've been in some controversy as of late. I don't know how that's going to come out, but we're not going to talk about that because we talk about positive football history. And sometimes when you talk about the positives, you have to look at some of the valleys that go along with the peaks of a great franchise like the Washington franchise is. Now, we know that they've changed names. You know, this year, 2022, they became the Washington Commanders after a two-year stint being known as the Washington football team. Back that up a year before that, they were the Washington Redskins. Now, so that's three names in just a matter of four seasons. But they were not even called the Redskins. They had a prior name to that and a different city. So let's go back to the beginning. In 1932, a group headed by George Preston Marshall that included Vincent Bendix, Jay O'Brien, and Dorland Doyle were given what some people may have called the remnants of the defunct Newark Tornadoes franchise that folded at the end of the 1930 season, according to the sportsteamhistory.com website and a Bleachers Report article on the subject, where I got a lot of this information from. Now, the professional rights of the franchise go back even further than that. Now, according to Wikipedia, in 1929, Ole Haugsrud, the owner of the Duluth Eskimos, we've spoke about them, sold his NFL franchise rights for the Eskimos to Piggy Simmold, and a wholesale meat salesman and sports promoter from Orange, who named his franchise the Orange Tornadoes in Orange, New Jersey. Now, the team struggled to a 3-5-4 record and then decided to move to Newark for a fresh start. The next season, the team received more bad breaks as head coach Jack Depler left the team to buy the Dayton Triangles and promptly moved them to become the Brooklyn Dodgers, raiding many of his former players of the Tornadoes to fill his roster. And the Newark squad went through three different head coaches just in the 1930 season. That's a sure sign of a franchise in big trouble. We've seen that happen before, some of the other franchises we've talked about. Now, back to this Boston group that was receiving the old Newark team remnants. Well, none of the Tornadoes team members ever joined the Braves, and that didn't start playing until a couple years seasons removed from the New Jersey-based Twisters team. Now, the team lost $46,000 in that first year. They were known as the Boston Braves, and hence all of his partners bailed and left the team to Marshall as the sole owner. Now, George's very core was a showman, and he loved the attention, having the spotlight shine on himself. The group originally named the team after the Boston Braves baseball team that played there in the city of Austin. As many early football teams did, they sort of went on the coattails of the local baseball team playing professional in the major leagues because that's where the popularity was. And if they played at the same stadium, you'd see that. You know, you saw the New York Giants, who ended up becoming the San Francisco Giants for the baseball team, or the New York Football Giants and some other teams before that took their name. The Pittsburgh Steelers were originally called the Pittsburgh Pirates because of the success of the baseball team. And, you know, there's some Brooklyn Dodgers football teams that played Brooklyn Dodgers and, of course, New York Yankees football teams. We've had a few of those and yada, yada. It goes on and on. Well, the following year Marshall had this team as the sole owner, he hired as his head coach a gentleman by the name of Lone Star Dietz, a Native American, as well as many other Native American players to play on that Boston Braves team. Well, the Native American players disliked the name Braves so much that they complained to Marshall, and he sensed and had a little bit of empathy for them, and he abandoned that name in favor of the naming the team the Redskins. They were the Boston Redskins, opening day 1933. There were reports that the whole team had lined up for a team photo in war paint feathers and even some in full headdresses. Unconfirmed, but there's some stories that was like that. 1936, his team was pretty good. They were on their way to their first Eastern title. And Marshall raised the ticket prices without any warning. They were 50 cents during the season. Well, he bumped them up to 75 cents without any notice to any of his fans at all. Well, this upset both the public as well as the media. And all the team was winning, the crowds decided to boycott the games, and they picketed in protest outside of the stadium. Well, the lack of support by both the fans and the media really came to a head when Marshall noticed that a local field hockey team was getting more press coverage than his beloved Redskins, who were, you know, on their way to making the postseason for the first time. You know, Marshall, he was miffed. He was angry, and he was ticked. So he had the rights to host the NFL championship game that year because his team had the better record. So he, instead of having it played in Boston where they played all their regular season games, he moved it to New York City to sort of, you know, flick his nose at the fans who were boycotting him in the media. And so his home team Redskins in New York City lost the NFL championship game 21-6 to the Packers. It was the first time in NFL history that the championship game was held on neutral ground. So that's a very pivotal moment. Now, Marshall owned a chain of laundry stores. He had 57 of them altogether, all up and down the East Coast. And he had a lot of them in the Washington, D.C. area, reportedly. And so the following year, still being very angry with the way the public in Boston treated him and his Redskins, he moved the club from Boston to Washington, D.C. and retained their nickname. So they became the Washington Redskins there in, I believe, 1937 or 1938. Now, the change of surroundings seemed to, and the nation's capital, sort of changed the course of the franchises. They were crowned the National Football League champions in their inaugural year in Washington, D.C. You know, it's for good reasons that the NFL does not consider the Redskins to be continuation of the Tornadoes, too. Just as it doesn't consider the Tornadoes to be a continuation of Duluth Eskimos. The move to the nation's capital changed the course of the franchise, crowned the NFL champions that first year in D.C., and at the time the 1950s rolled around, Marshall was the very first NFL owner to embrace television. Now, he initiated the first network appearances for any NFL team and built a television network to broadcast Redskins games across the southern states. So, yeah, he was sort of, they were the southernmost NFL team at that point in time, which is kind of hard to imagine that in the 1950s, you know, late 30s, 40s, and 50s. He's the southernmost team, so sort of he was the team of the South, and he really embraced that role of being team in the South. Now, unfortunately, he ended up being probably, I think, the last ball club in the National Football League to reintegrate African-American players into the ranks and of the players of his team. Because, you know, the support of those south of the Mason-Dixon line. And that's the way that society looked at it at that time. So, you know, a little bit of a controversial figure. Did some things that were not so nice, not so kind. But in 1960, the Dallas Cowboys were proposed to be an addition to the NFL. Well, Marshall opposed this as it would end his team's stature as being the only team south of the Mason-Dixon line. And he only agreed to the addition. We've had some guests come on here and talk about this. Somehow, somebody had gotten the rights to the song Hail to the Redskins. George Preston Marshall never owned that right, or did not own that right at that point. So it was a businessman in Dallas that had it, I believe, in the Dallas area, if I remember the story correctly from one of our guests. And so the way that George Preston Marshall agreed to it is if he got the rights to the song of Hail to the Redskins, because otherwise this person was not going to allow the Redskins band to play that song at Redskins games. And that was sort of a big part of you know, the Washington Redskins. Some people still feel that song, that is the theme song, even though they are not the Redskins anymore. So that was sort of the trade-off to let the Dallas Cowboys come in. And then, you know, soon after that, you know, the New Orleans Saints and Atlanta Falcons and, you know, teams in Florida started popping up when the AFL merged and everything. So, you know, of course, today, you know, we don't even think of Washington, D.C. being in the South, really. In 1960, Marshall ended up selling 25% of the team to Jack Kent Cook for $350,000. So he still owned 75% of the team. And you know, Cook and him didn't always see eye to eye, but you know, they were co-owners in it. But then unfortunately, George Preston Marshall left this earth in August of 1962 during an emergency hernia operation. And he passed away on the operating table. And I believe his Jack Kent Cook's family ended up buying it from Preston Marshall's family, and I believe that's how the got in. And of course, you know, Dan Schneider bought it after that sometime, who owns it today. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame inducted George Marshall, Preston Marshall, into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1963 at the enshrinement ceremonies there in Canton, Ohio. So he is a Hall of Famer. A controversial figure, but he did bring some good and has an interesting story in football lore that was worth telling. So I hope you enjoyed this little bit of history we talked about today with George Preston Marshall and a little bit of the history of the Boston Braves, Boston Redskins, Washington Redskins, Washington football team, Washington Commanders, as they are known now. And we hope you join us back tomorrow for some more great football history and each and every day. Until tomorrow, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.